Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. We looked at part of this passage a couple of weeks ago, and the passage reads as such. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with the heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by what is life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would be prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I entitled this little series of message, Why We Never Need to Fear Death, friends. We never need to fear death. The Apostle Paul reminds us in so many ways that, you know, as Christians, we don't need to fear death. When I first preached on this message, the first point I made was this: we never need to fear death because we know we have a certain future. We don't need to be worried about the future, friends, because the future for the Christian is not uncertain. Why is the future for the Christian not uncertain? Well, I gave you four reasons why the future is not uncertain. The first one was this: the future is not uncertain because we know what's going to happen in the future. You say, how can you know what's going to happen in the future? Well, friends, we know what's going to happen in the future because the one who lives in the future came back to tell us what the future is all about. That's Jesus. Friend, we know Jesus. Because we know Jesus, we know the future. We don't have to guess about the future. The future is not unknown for the believer. We know about the future because we know Jesus, and He is the future. He's been there and He's come back to tell us about the future. We also, friends, don't need to worry about the future because in the future we have a building. We don't just have a tent, we have a building. God is going to give us a building. Jesus said so wonderfully, in my Father's house are many buildings or rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I'm going there to prepare a place for you, so that I may come back to take you to be where I am. Isn't that wonderful? Friends, we don't need to worry about the future. Wherever you're living at the moment, it pales into insignificance compared to the building you're going to receive in the future. Thirdly, we can be certain about the future, friends, because God made us for the future. The very purpose for our existence, friends, is to be with God forever. Listen to what it says in Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ. Friends, we're still being built. We're still developing. But friends, the wonderful reality is God has a purpose. He's created us for a purpose. And that purpose, friends, is that He's created us for His glory and to be with Him forever and ever. And the third reason, friends, why we can be certain about the fourth reason is that God has given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, friends, is God's deposit in us to tell us that the future is certain. The very fact that we have the Holy Spirit living within us, the very fact that we can be aware of the very presence of God, friends, makes us know that we will be in the very presence of God at some point in the future. So, point number one, we never need to fear death because we have a certain future. Now, point number two, we never need to fear death, friends, because the present is a groan. Man, life's difficult, isn't it? Look what Paul says in verse 4. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with the heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by what is life. Friends, why are you looking forward to the future? The reality is, as human beings, that's exactly how we live. We always think it's better on the other side of the fence, isn't it? Most of us are like that. We always think the grass is greener on the other side. And you know what? When it comes to heaven, it's the only time we can truly say it truly is better on the other side. Friends, that's why we look forward to the future. Paul makes it so very clear. Friends, why would you want to carry on living in this life when the future that God has promised us, where the paving stones in heaven are made from gold? The pavement, friends. I've been fighting with the municipality. As you walk out the front gate of the church here, we have sewerage running off the front of our pavement here. I don't know if it's still there. Is it still there? Okay, is there anybody come from the front this morning? Still in the coming from the front? Is it? Hallelujah, they heard me. I've phoned many times already. The sewerage, friends, has been running on the pavements for so long that it started making algae on the ground there. It's been there for so long. But the pavement in heaven, friends, what Paul is actually saying, in this present, we groan. Literally, that word means, ah! That's all that word means. There's no better word than in Afrikaans. Onsukkel, don't we? There's no better word than that one. You can say it in English as much as you like, but in Afrikaans, life is a circle. It's not easy. Friends, why would we want to continue circling all of our lives? Well, the Paul reminds us, friends, why life is so difficult. He first of all reminds us that life is difficult because we carry lots of burdens. Verse 4, we groan and are burdened. That word literally means a heavy weight that we are carrying. Sometimes the word was used for women who were very pregnant. You know, you can see sometimes these ladies who are, you know, carrying two or three babies, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And first they're walking upright, and in the end they're walking like this. Isn't that the case? They're burdened. They're heavily burdened. And friends, that's what life for us is like. We start walking upright, but in the end we're walking krom, aren't we? Just look at all the old people here. They're all walking with the krom sticks and that, eh? Life is difficult, friends, because we're carrying burdens. What are the burdens we carry? We're carrying the burden of responsibilities. I don't know about you, but, you know, when you've got lots of responsibilities, they weigh heavily on your shoulders, don't they? You know, that's the reality of life. We all have responsibilities. Whatever it may be, we carry those burdens. We carry the burden of our worries. We worry about whether we're going to have enough money for the future. We worry whether our children are doing all right. We worry about our health. We worry about all those things. Those burdens, friends, eventually weigh us down. That's what Paul's talking about. We carry the burden of illness. Many are carrying that burden, friends, of illness. Whatever it may be, the reality is it affects all of us at some point in time. The burden of illness, not only our own illness, but when we see illness in somebody else, that burden. We carry the burden of being concerned for other people. I know parents can identify with this one. You know, I'm sure every parent will tell you, it doesn't matter whether your child is 5 or 50, you still worry about them. Friends, those are the burdens that we carry. One of those burdens, and there are some even in our midst, carrying the burden of grief and loss. Those are the burdens. That's the first thing that makes life difficult. Paul says, while we're going through this life, you're just going to have burdens. Life's not going to get better. The burdens are not going to go away. If anything, the burdens are going to get heavier and heavier and heavier until they push you 6 foot under the ground. Isn't that the sad reality? The burdens get so heavy that they push us under the ground. But friends, there's another reason why Paul says he looks forward to the future. Because life is difficult because we have burdens. But life is difficult, friends. The next thing Paul says is because we are mortal. He says we're looking forward to the day when the mortal will be put off and the immortality will be put on. You know what the word mortal means? The word mortal means simply the ability to die. That's what mortal means. The reality is, friends, every one of us will face death at some point in time. There are many things you can put off. There are many things you can avoid. But the reality is, as that saying says, death and taxes, you'll never be able to avoid them. Although there seems to be lots of politicians who are avoiding taxes, but not necessarily death. The reality is, friends, all of us, for those of that you are young, under 30, you think, oh, I'll never have to worry about death. Death is such a long, long time away. I want to tell you, yesterday I was 25. Now I'm 65. Isn't that the case, those of us who are older? Yesterday we were 25. We still feel 25, don't we? But the reality is, friends, we face our mortality. What does our mortality remind us of? There's three things our mortality reminds us of. First one is this. Friends, time is passing. Doesn't it feel as if the years are going faster these days? I don't know about you, but I couldn't believe that today was the 23rd of November already. Just 1 month to Christmas. Our school children wrote their last exam on Friday. I can see Fezzy smiling from ear to ear. And the other teachers. Friends, time is passing. And you can't stop it. And for each of us who are mortal, the older we get, the more we realize that there are many things that you can buy, but you can't buy time. Your days are allotted, friends, and you've got to make use of the time that you have. But mortality also reminds us and questions our significance. Because we know we're working to a clock, a lot of us wonder, is my life worthwhile? Am I doing something that's meaningful? Am I making a difference in the world in which I am living? Friends, that's the reality of our being mortal. Time is passing. Are we doing things that are significant? But mortality, friends, is simply this. At some point in time, we're going to die. I know it sounds shocking, doesn't it? You don't want to hear that this morning, do you? You think, oh, I've got lots and lots of time left. But friend, you have no idea how much time you got left. The reality is, none of us know how much time we have left. So life is difficult because life is full of burdens. Life is difficult because, friends, we face life as mortals. We can't stop the fact that we're all facing death. Thirdly, life is difficult because actually we're all naked. Oh, you say, Pastor, wow, how can you talk about that this morning? Paul says that. Verse 2. He says, meanwhile we groan, laughing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. So what's Paul saying to us? You're actually naked. Do you know that? What's he saying? No, he's not saying you're not wearing clothes. Heaven forbid that be the case. He's not talking about physical nakedness, friends. He's talking about, friend, that actually, when it all comes to the end, it's only between you and God. That's what nakedness is, friends. The first time we come across this little phrase in a significant way is in the book of Job. Remember the story of Job? Job was the richest man in the world in the day in which he lived. He was the Elon Musk of the year 3000 BC, before Christ. He had more money than he knew what to do with, friends. And in one day, all of his family died. All of his possessions fell down and broke. All of his livestock was stolen by his enemy. And he had nothing. Nothing left, friends. This is what he says in Job chapter 1, verse 20. It says, Job got up and tore his robes and shaved his head. He fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will pass. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. You often hear those words at a funeral, don't you? Naked I came into this world, and naked I will leave. And friend, that's all of us. Have you ever looked in? You know, the world in which we live in is so busy that people don't know how to look into themselves. We're so busy entertaining ourselves. We're so busy with life's issues that we forget to look in, friends. Who are you before God, friend? Is your life significant? Are you, you know, one day you will stand before God with nothing. Nothing between you and Him, friend. None of your righteousness, none of your achievements, none of your money, none of your degrees, none of your family. Nothing will be stand between you and God, friend, because on that day you will be naked before Him, friend. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that, friends, nothing is permanent. We can only face God by being totally dependent upon Him. You know, there's a beautiful picture. I didn't put it in my notes, but I thought about it overnight. There's a beautiful picture, friends, of why the death of Christ is so important for us. When Jesus was put on the cross, what was He wearing? Friend, the reality is, He was naked. Stripped of everything. His friends had been chased away. His ministry had been taken from Him. His clothes were the last few little things He had in His possessions. But the soldiers who put Him on the cross, friends, took even His clothes, and they gambled for His clothes. When Jesus was on the cross, He was naked, other than a crown of thorns on His head, friends. Jesus became nothing so that you may become something. Jesus gave everything, His last little bit of dignity, friends, that Jesus had, so that you may have life and have dignity. Friends, what I look forward to the future, because man, there are many times when I look in and I say, Reuben, what a wicked man you are. How could you ever hope that God would save you? How could you ever think that you're valuable? But then I remember, friend, Jesus died for me and made it possible for me to be in the presence of God. Finally, the future, friends, is better than the present, because the future is glorious. Friend, the present is a mess. We're carried full of burdens. We're burdened. We're mortal. We're naked. But friends, the future is glorious. Everything that we are as human beings, friends, this is why the Apostle Paul was looking forward to heaven. Because every weakness that he had on earth found its glorious fulfillment in heaven. Man, you're a bunch of Baptists this morning. I sure was expecting an amen then. Amen. Friends, that is what keeps us going. That's what makes me look forward to the day when I'll be in the presence of God. Why do we look forward to that day, friends? The Apostle Paul reminds us of some of those things. First of all, he reminds us that what is temporary now is going to be replaced by what is eternal. We will no longer be mortals, we will be immortal. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited, doesn't it? I hope it does the same for you, friend. Man, you know, you think you're strong now, but one day, friends, you will live in eternity, for eternity. God has made you for that purpose. Look at what he says. We have a building, an eternal house in heaven. I don't know about you, but one of the biggest burdens I carry in King Williamstown is the burden of maintenance. The maintenance at the house, because it's a flat roof, it's always leaking. The maintenance here at the church, because all the maparas are stealing the stuff, the copper off the walls. It's maintenance, 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 maintenance all the time. But one day I'm going to get a house that's eternal, that'll never break down or never diminish, friends. What a day that's going to be. Number two, we look forward to the glorious future, friends, because in the future, God provides everything we need. Oh, yes, you guys are dead this morning. Look what he says. We have a building, an eternal house, not built by human hands. The word literally means, the Greek word literally means, it's unmanufactured. That's what it literally means. You know, on earth, we've got to manufacture things. We've got to manufacture the bricks. We've got to manufacture the clothes. We've got to manufacture the cars. We've got to manufacture all those things. But in friends, in heaven, nothing is manufactured because they're all there in the very existence of because of God spoke. You know, the reality is, when we see a miracle, something that, you know, we say only God can do, do you know a miracle is normal for God? A miracle, friends, is normal for God. There is no miracles for God. Everything is normal. Everything he does, friends, he doesn't call it a miracle. He just says, okay, well, we'll do that now. We may call it a miracle, but for God, friends, there is nothing impossible, because in the future, he's going to provide everything we need. Amen. Thank you. You know, as we come to the end of the year, Patricia will know, I start worrying about where we're going to get enough money to pay the staff and pay all the accounts of the church and all those sort of things. And we had a meeting this last week to talk about that, and we started making the plans as to how we're going to try and meet all the needs that we have in the front. Heaven for me, friends, will be not to have to worry about any of that money issue. That's heaven for me. God provides everything we ever will need. And then finally, the future is glorious, friends, because we will be complete. Paul says that when he appears, or John says, when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. See that tent we're getting, that house we're getting, friends, we're going to become in the image of Christ, in the image of God in every way. A number of years ago, there was a presenter on SAFM. I like to listen to SAFM as my radio station of choice. There was a presenter on SAFM called Tim Modise. I'm sure you've heard him from time to time. And whenever Tim Madise was asked the question, how are you doing, Tim? He would answer. What would he answer? Somebody know? I'm together. That's what he would answer. I'm together. I love that phrase. I thought it was such a life-affirming response to who he was. I'm together. Friend, all I can say is this side of eternity, I don't feel together. I don't know about you. I feel a little bit broken apart from time to time. I'm not saying life isn't good for me. Don't misunderstand me. God has been blessing me and blessing us beyond our expectation. But friends, what we will experience in heaven, friends, we will be together in every way. Why don't I fear death? Man, I'm ready to get rid of the burdens of this life, the groaning of this life. And I am ready for the glory that awaits me one day when I get to heaven. How about you? Are you worried about the future? Why don't I worry about the future? I don't worry about the future, friends, because Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the one who's made it possible for me to gain entrance into heaven. I'm not depending on my own abilities or my own strength. All I know is that one day when God asks me, what have you done that you should deserve a place in heaven? All I can say is, Jesus invited me to come to be with him. How about you? Are you sure you're going to go to heaven, or do you fear death? Friend, you don't need to ever fear death if you truly trust God. Next week, I'm going to bring this message to a close. There's still more to it, believe it or not. Because the passage requires a response from us. How do we deal with this wonderful information? What are we meant to do with this glorious information, friends, that we don't need to fear the future, because with the future, friends, we've got a certain future, and we don't need to fear the future, friends, because we're ready to get rid of this past. How do we respond? And I encourage you to think about, how will you respond to the message that Jesus has saved you? Let's pray together.